It's interesting. There's no planning or coordination between what I'm going to preach and what's being played and proclaimed up here through music. But that last line, I'm desperate for you. You see, that fits into what we're going to be talking about today, because we're talking about having God's strength. And sometimes when we need strength, we are desperate for God to intervene in our lives and what we're going through. We're desperate to feel a touch, to feel God's presence in our life. And the Bible tells us that He will provide that for us. So as we go into this morning, in our last sermon from the book of Habakkuk for now, next Sunday we'll be starting in the book of James for the month of October. But we're going to be in Habakkuk 3, verses 17 through 19. And let's go to the Lord in prayer first. Father God, again, thank You. Thank You for the music, the praise that was sung. And thank You for each person that participated, Lord, in the praise team and the music. Father, they give so much of themselves to proclaim Your word in that medium, Lord, through music. And I thank You for that, because it prepares our heart to hear Your word spoken through Your word by the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Father, thank You so much. Now I ask that You remove me from this and let Your prophet and Your word speak for itself. We thank You, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be in Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19, but I want to ask you a question before we get started into that. Have you ever been in a position in your life so low that you were desperate for God's touch, for God's presence? I have. And they've been many different times. It's been through my own illness or my own physical situation or some, you know, trying to help someone when I was a paramedic firefighter or some member of my family that's going through an illness or a hard time. Or, you know, there's many times when we feel low and we just ask God to give us strength to get through the situation. I remember one time, and I know y'all probably get tired of these paramedic stories, but I'm going to tell them anyway, all right? We had a car that was flipped upside down in the ditch. Now, this was not a regular car. This was like one of those Audis. In fact, if it had treads, it'd be a tank. It was that strong. And the lady was upside down in her car. And we got there, and we noticed that she had had a lot of bad injuries on her feet because her feet had got tangled up in the pedals and all that kind of stuff. And she was praying, and she was praying out loud. She was going, God, you know, give me strength, give me hope, give me something I can hold on to. And she's saying that while we're trying to cut everything away so we can get her out. She was in a low position. She had never been through that. In fact, she told me when we finally got an ambulance, she said, I've never been hurt. I've never even been sick. How do people get through this? And she said, the only way I can get through this is to fall on God. And I said, sister, you're talking to the right person. Because God is the only one that can get you through something like this, when you've never experienced before. Because there's so much in our lives. We've seen other people go through it. We've seen other people go through death and sickness and divorce and loss of job and loss of family. We've seen all that. But sometimes when we experience it ourselves, it's a new thing for us. And we cling to what we know provides us strength. And for Christians, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty. Now let's look at Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19. Remember, God had told him that the Chaldeans were coming. And he had asked all these questions about how can these Chaldeans who are more evil than we punish Judah. And he said that he's going to go and he's going to listen, even though God's word made him afraid. We remember all that. But now it comes down to the brass tacks. It's time for the prophet to say what he really believes. Not just out of fear and doubt and anxiety, but that very intense feeling that only those who know God can have. Now let's read Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19, starting at verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. What he is saying is there's going to come this time when I'm going to have nothing. I'm not even going to have the food that I eat. I'm not going to have people to help me. I'm not going to have animals. I'm not going to have vegetables. I'm not going to have anything. And it goes for the whole nation because the Chaldeans were coming. Let's remember the context. He's saying this. There's going to be no hope for me. But then the next little word comes along. Yet. Now, yet tells us that there's something important coming. You know how we always joke about if we find a therefore, we need to find out what it's there for? We need to find out what the yet means. And this is what it's going. Verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet. Now, for y'all don't know, a hind is a deer. Most of y'all know that, but there might be some young ones that don't. That's a big deer. And He will make me to walk upon mine high places. And then it says to the chief singer. So this was a poem or a song that was going to be sung. I will rejoice. No matter what happens, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. It is now that the prophet of God reveals his inward most understanding of God. God is his true protector, his provider, his strength. Even when all is failing around him, even then God provides salvation. This fact gives the man of God joy. And it should give us joy because, you see, when we are faced with something that looks overwhelming, where we're not going to have what we're used to having, when all seems hopeless, God has not left. God is still there. God is still the God of salvation. And He is still the God that makes us have the strength necessary to get through because He is with you during that time. You see, God doesn't leave. God never leaves us. Once we are His children, once we are bound by the blood of Christ to God through eternal, the new covenant in His blood, He never leaves us. He gives us the Holy Spirit that indwells us. The fact that God the Holy Spirit is in us. The fact that we can go before the throne of grace, before God the Father, through Jesus the Son, gives us the strength, not only for the big theological spiritual things, but for the everyday needs that we have. God is our strength and He is there for us. Now sometimes, because of our own sinfulness or our own bad habits or whatever you want to call it, He's more difficult to see. And sometimes God allows us to face the consequences of our bad choices in order that we may see Him more clearly. And it hurts. Especially when you realize that you're the problem, not God. And it's very, very comforting for us to know that even during that time, He doesn't leave us. Clouds of fear and doubt may come between us, but the sun is always behind those clouds, and He breaks through those clouds. Joy rings forth as Habakkuk reveals that he knows God will make him like a deer, bounding away from destruction. How many of y'all have ever been deer hunting? A few of us, okay? What's more aggravating than you're sitting out there, you got your orange vest on, you're either on the ground by a tree or you're up in the stand, and you see this deer come up, and all of a sudden, you make some sort of noise. Sometimes intentional, sometimes not intentional. You need to lay off the beef jerky when you're in a deer stand, okay? Some of y'all get that. Some of you let it sink in for a minute. But you make a noise, and that deer perks up, and that deer bounds off, and he's gone, and you don't see him again. That's what Habakkuk says God makes him like, that he can see and he can hear and he can understand and he can flee and he can go into his high places. That means the places of refuge that God has given to this prophet, and God gives us that refuge too. And his refuge is himself. He is a strong and mighty tower. He is the rock of our salvation. He's all these things. It is a great comfort to truly believe and know that God Almighty makes us strong and wise. The Bible is full of verses which show us this reality. And I'm going to get to some of them here in a few minutes. But I want to go back again and ask you, have you been in that valley where the only way out is to trust God? Oh, Lord knows I've been in those valleys. And I know by looking at your faces right now, many of you have been in those valleys. Some of you are in that valley right now. I've seen through tears and through pain the overwhelming providence and strength that is the Lord God, not only in my own life, but in others' lives too. I have personally felt the nail-scarred hand reach out for me when I was in the pit of sin and self-delusion. And did I take that hand? You bet you I did. And He has brought me out safe thus far. And no matter how many times that I mess it up, I'm not even counting what other people do. I'm counting me. No matter how many times I mess it up, He is still there. Because He is a promise keeper. And He is a faithful God. When do we proclaim our trust in God? Where we know our strength come from? Well, in the good times, we celebrate what He's done for us. Absolutely. Most certainly. But what about the times of anxiety, doubt, and fear? Yes, even in those times. And what of the times of sorrow and pain when you're standing by the casket of a loved one? Or you're standing by the graveside of a child that was taken way too early? Or you stand by the phone waiting to hear that diagnosis that you're scared of? What about those times? Yes, brothers and sisters. He is there. He reaches out for you. We do not cheer such circumstances. You know, it's a very strange and odd person that cheers when something bad happens to them. But what we can cheer is the fact that when that happens to us, those of us that know God realize that God is with us in that moment, and He is the one that's going to get us through that moment, and He is the one that gives us our salvation from not only that moment, but every moment to come. Now, sometimes we got to understand that His salvation may look different than what we expect. You know, somebody that's fought a long, hard, multi-year battle with cancer and eventually God decides to bring him home, that's not a defeat for that person that knows God. Now, yes, in our human nature, we want to keep them and we want to fellowship with them. We want to have them. Yes, absolutely. But do you think once they go through those pearly gates and are in the presence of Christ, they would want to come back to this ball of dirt? I wouldn't. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to pray God keeps me here as long as He wants me here. And I know that He's going to give me the strength to get through it. And He's going to give you the strength to get through whatever you are going through right now and in the future. You see, what happened when the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Benny, if you watch VeggieTales, Abednego, they went into the fire. That was Rack, Shack, and Benny for y'all that aren't cultured enough to know what that was. But did they scream and cry out? No. They looked around for the fourth man. And even Nebuchadnezzar himself saw the fourth man, one like unto a son of God, his own words, in the fire. He was there in the fire. And what of Moses when he was at the top of the mount? He could not go into the promised land, but he saw the promised land and he realized because of his own sin he couldn't go. But was God with him there or did God abandon him? No, God was with him there. In fact, we read that God actually took the body of Moses and He buried the body of Moses. And I'm glad He did. You imagine the shrine that would be built up for Moses if they knew where his grave was? God didn't want them to worship Moses. He wanted the people to worship Him. For I am a jealous God. God wants your loyalty. He wants your all, for lack of a better term. He will not share you with another. And when you are fully transformed, when you are born again, you are regenerated into a new creature, the Bible tells us, your focus is on Him. Will you still have problems? Yes. And that's what we're going to talk about. Even though we belong to Him, we have moments where we're weak. We have moments when we doubt. We have moments when we mess up. And He does not abandon us. You know, we see this picture and poem in many places, coffee mugs and posters. It says, you know, the footprints in the sand. And you know, why is there only one set of footprints? And it's because I carried you. You know, when my footprints are seen, there's going to be a long drag mark because He had to drag me through a lot of the stuff. And that's true, and I'm not saying that facetiously. People, myself included, are a stubborn lot. And when we think we're right, oh, the disasters that set up. But does God leave us? No, He does not. Praise His name, He does not. He gives us our strength. He is there. Was He there with Daniel? in the den of lions. An old Daniel. This was not the young Daniel who wouldn't eat the thing or the young. This was the old Daniel. An old man, and they cast him and they said he was going to crush his bones. But no, God was with him. And about the only thing that came out of the lion's mouth was a meow. Unless he was from Texas, and then it would be a meowdy. I saw that one this morning. I hope it worked. But anyway, he was there in the lion's den. And then let me ask you this. What about those that he was with physically? And here come Judas and the temple guards up the hill, and they could see the torches. Was God with them then? Absolutely. Didn't he tell one of the disciples, if I wanted to, I could call down 12 legions of angels, but then how could righteousness be fulfilled? Then how could I do the will of my Father unless I went through this trial? He was adamant that he was going to save his people no matter what. And he did. He was there, and he gave strength to each one of them, including Jesus himself, was ministered to by the angels, and he had the strength. In fact, the only time that God was not with Jesus is on the cross when he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? Because God turned his back on the sin that Jesus had took upon himself. But don't you know, when Jesus broke through, when that temple veil was rent, who rent that temple veil? God rent that temple veil. Who raised up Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit? God the Father did that. He was there and He did it. Now don't you think that death being our number one enemy, He is not there with us in that time? Yes, He is. Now I got news for you. A lot of people going around say, you know, oh, if you have enough faith, you're never going to get sick. You're never going to do that. God's going to all... You know, if that was true, how many 2,000-year-old Christians would be walking around? I've used that line before, but think about that. That's true. No, there comes a time that every man should die, and then the judgment. Ladies, you're included in that. But is God with us in that time to give us strength? Yes, He is. Why is He there with us? To love us, to have mercy on us, and to give us the strength needed to remain faithful to Him in this devil-filled world. Brothers and sisters, the Word of God tells us in so many places that He, that is God, gives us such strength to get through these. And here are but a few instances, a few examples. Psalm 18, verses 1 through 2. You can follow along if you want to. Psalm 18, 1 through 2. And this is what the psalmist says. I will love Thee, O Lord. Of course, he uses God's name, Yahweh, there. I will love Thee, Yahweh, my strength. Yahweh is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler. That means the buckle that holds all of his armor and equipment on. And the horn of my salvation and my high tower. You see, the psalmist put everything in God. He was his strength. He was his trust. He was his deliverer, his fortress, his rock. And it says his strength. In fact, he says it twice. First in verse 1 and then in verse 2. God is the psalmist's strength. And you know, this same God is our strength also. The psalmist here paints a picture of Yahweh being a strong and mighty defense against his enemies. Yes, our enemies bring us low at times. And our enemies are not just people. They're also abstract things like disease and illness that are controlled by the evil one. And yet God is there to give us the strength. And not only to give us our strength, but to be our strength. Didn't he say later on in scriptures? Paul said, I believe, that in my weakness, I am strong because of Him. You see, when people see you in your low points and they see who you trust, they see what brings you out, they see you allow God or stand back as God lifts you up from that position and makes you more than you've ever been. I'm not preaching some kind of prosperity where God's going to make you a millionaire and you're going to have 3 Rolls Royces in it. 5-car garage. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that God is your strength, and what you need, He gives you. When you need it, and as much as you need it. The Lord stands with you, over you, around you, with His strength and mercy. The enemy is going to be cast into the lake of fire. You see, we don't play a short game. We play a long game, not just the here and now. Our victory is here and now and eternity. And that's where His strength will be made completely complete. So do not let the specter of death or any other kind of thing frighten you. For He is a defeated and toothless lion. Yes, the devil walks around like a lion whom he may destroy. But you see, that lion ain't as big as our lion. Our lion is the Lion of Judah. Our lion is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that other lion is an old toothless, clawless tomcat that don't know where he belongs. And we need to understand that. He may hurt you or even physically kill you, but He will never have victory over you, for you are in Christ, the living, resurrected Lord. He is your strength, not yourself. Let's turn over to Psalm 73:26. Psalm 73:26. I'm going to go through about five verses. This is number two on God being our strength. It says this in Psalm 73:26. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is my strength. Excuse me. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Not only is God His strength of His heart, that means His conscience, His fortitude, His endurance, all that. His mind, His body, everything. But He's also His portion. God is all we need. Now, being a good Southern Baptist pastor, I'm going to talk about food here for a second. When you go, the reason I like going to a buffet is because you can get the portion that makes you happy. Now you imagine in the spiritual buffet that we have. All these different beliefs and all of them are bad and horrible, but yet there is this one portion of spiritual and physical food. For in Him we have our life and our being, right? And it satisfies you completely. And that's all you need forever. I mean, I hate to say it like this, but it's like the buffet with never ending, and you get to stay there, and every time you want, you can take from that portion and take from that portion. And each time you take from it, you're stronger, you're better, you're more close to God. You can have all these things because He is your portion, and He gives it to you freely. Freely. He says in Isaiah, freely come to the waters that you may drink and thirst and no longer thirst. So God, it says, even though my flesh and my heart faileth, even though I'm scared, even though I'm sick, even though I'm lonely, God is there and He is your strength and He is your portion. Never forget that. Let's go over to Isaiah 40:31. Isaiah 40:31. And you have seen this on everything from posters to pennants to coffee mugs to bracelets to keychains. You've seen this verse. It says, Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. A special promise to all who believe, that is those that wait upon the Lord and serve Him. You see, the promise is those who wait upon the Lord. If you're not waiting upon the Lord, if you're not serving Him, this promise does not apply to you. It should. Once you learn the truth, you should believe it. But it says, for all those that wait, but they that wait upon the Lord, we will not lose hope, nor our divinely given ferocity to preach, teach, love, and forgive, so that all will see Jesus while we are engaged in the field of a spiritual battle. Now guys, some of y'all, well one of y'all, was joking with me earlier because I was complaining about feeling old today. And the reason I was feeling old today is I got to work with this thing called an auger yesterday. And the auger only went so deep and hit a root. And so it went this way, and I was low, so I went this way, and now every joint in my body's hurting. It used to not be that way. Of course, it didn't help when I took it inside the garage. I dropped it on my foot, and I got a big old bruise on my leg about that like that. But I feel old today, because when I was 30, that wouldn't have bothered me. When I was 40, it wouldn't have bothered me. When I was 50, 4 years ago, it wouldn't have bothered me. But here in the last 2 years, it bothers me. And I feel physical weakness much more than I ever did. But you know what? The job still needs to get done. The person still needs to be witnessed to. The faith still needs to be proclaimed. The truth still needs to be interjected in the lies that society is. The work never stops. And as long as God gives me the ability to breathe, I am going by His strength and by His power to do what He has called me to do. And I pray each one of you feels the same way. He doesn't give everyone the same task. He gives everyone similar tasks. But we all have our different context and our different spheres of influence and all that. And God does that. But the reason I'm telling you that is even though when I feel beat up by a piece of machinery, God renews my strength. So I did not stop working when that happened. Kept going. You see, when life throws us the kitchen sink and everything else, God does not abandon us, and He will, if we call upon His name, renew our strength so we can be like an eagle. An eagle is a very majestic animal. It really is. They're all, not just bald eagles in the United States, there are golden eagles and all kinds of eagles all over the world, and they've always been a symbol of power and strength. And they fly really, really high. I saw one time this guy put a GoPro on top of an eagle's head. And let me tell you, they showed that. And that was higher than a lot of the airliners fly, that eagle. He was up on them updrafts. And it was an amazing what God's creatures can see every day because of His kindness and what He made them. But you see, He made me and you something more than a bird. In fact, Jesus told His disciples that God knows every sparrow. God knows every hair on your head. And not one of them falls without your Father knowing and being there. How much more are we more important? Because we are in the Imago Dei. We are in the image of God. How much more are we worth than a sparrow or an eagle? But yet God gives us the strength to be like those things. I like the part where they shall run and not be weary. Chasing a 14-year-old makes you weary. Playing soccer in Bible school when you're 48 with a bunch of 12-year-olds, that's something that's going to make you weary. But God gives you the strength. And walking and not faint. Walking through where? Through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And you can say that and say, He will allow me to walk and not be weary and not faint. Excuse me. That special promise. Now let's go to Mark 12:30. Mark 12:30. This is a little different. This is how we are to return. Remember, this is Jesus speaking to a lawyer that asked Him what was the greatest commandment. And this is what Jesus said. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. That is the Shema of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is where we find that. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God. And it lists those things. We are to love God with all our strength. Now here's the question, brothers and sisters. God gives us the strength to love Him. Do we use that strength to love Him back? All of it. I wish I could stand here and say that I do. But you know, being a carnal person, sometimes I hold back. And I think we all do. But we shouldn't. God gives us the strength. If He gives us the strength to get up and love Him and to serve Him and do all those things, shouldn't we use that strength that He gives us? Now, He gives us different levels of strength, obviously. You know, someone who's 99 years old is going to have a different level of strength than someone who's 39 years old. But yet God gives the same strength because I've seen 99 years old that could whoop a 39-year-old in a heartbeat. It depends on the strength God gives you. This battle that we're in should make us give all to our God through Jesus Christ. And His command is from old, as we've said. This was a command for a special people of God at that time, and it is a command for a special people of God now, those that know Him through Jesus Christ, His Son, which is the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father but by Me. So all others are liars and thieves that try to break in to the kingdom of God. But they cannot, and they will not, because Christ is the only way in. The first commandment is to love God with everything, and Christ, being God the Son, confirmed that for us. And our last verse that we're going to talk about, let me make sure it's the last one. Yes. No, I got two more. So I was wrong. I said five, we got six. Ephesians 6:10 says this. And this is right after talking about, or right before, talking about the armor of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You see, we are strong in the Lord, and we have our power in His might. Just as Habakkuk said, He is my strength, He is my rock, He's my deliverer. When we realize that for ourselves, and He is our strength, and He is our power, then we cannot fail with what He gives us to do. Now, if we try to do something on our own, that's a whole different story. If we try to do something that God did not tell us to do, that's a whole other story. But when we're doing what He tells us to do, and we're in His power and His might, we will be victorious because He is already victorious. He's already won the fight for us. It's just getting through the minutia of applying it. Is it difficult? Yes, the devil sometimes, and the world and the flesh, they all make it difficult for us to follow what God has told us to do. But in His power and His might, we will overcome it. Why? Because He is our strength. And the prophet knew that. The prophet knew that. And how do I know that Jesus will be all I need, my power and my strength? 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10 says this. This is Paul talking about when Jesus spoke to him. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Brothers, sisters, we need to claim this verse for ourselves, because there are times when we have all the things that Paul listed there. We have our infirmities and our weaknesses and our reproaches and our persecutions and all these things. We have them. But he says right there, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And he's talking about what Christ said. My grace is sufficient for thee. Is Christ's grace sufficient for you? It is for me. Because I'm going to tell you, without Christ's grace, I would not be here today. I would have died a long, long time ago. Because of foolishness, bad choices, and turning my back on my God when I was young. But no, brothers and sisters, He matures you. He stays with you. He strengthens you. And He brings you to the point where you can realize that His grace is the only thing that will get you through life. And His grace is the only thing that gets you into heaven through salvation, because it is by grace that you are saved, and not works, lest any man should boast. His grace is sufficient for all we do, for all we need. But for all we do, His grace is sufficient. And we have our strength. He says, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. So when you are brought low and you trust in Christ and He lifts you up, you are a witness to the power that Jesus gives you. His strength is now your strength. And He pulls you up by the bootstraps, and He sets your foot on the narrow path, and He guides you. You will neither turn to the right nor the left. You will go straight ahead, because He is there with you, around you, every day, every hour. For the God of Israel does not sleep, and He does not slumber, and you can't outdo God. Brothers and sisters, that makes me happy. I may look a little intense right now, but it makes me happy. Because when I realize that, when I read all the things that I wanted to do in my life was because of God's grace. Now, Brother Matt kind of knows this, but you know, for a long time I wanted to be a pilot when I was younger. I really wanted to be. But you see these things right here? They won't let you be a pilot if you wear these things. Okay, you can be a scuba diver, but you can't be a pilot. Well, I prayed, God, one day, just let me fly a plane, just once. Just once. And then I had a brother that was in a Korean church that I was the youth minister at. And he was a pilot for a cargo airliner. And one day, he let me and Shiny go up with him. Shiny was in the back seat, I was in the front seat. She was holding on white-knuckled for dear life. And he allowed me to fly that thing around the airport, do a couple of touch and goes, and I got to do what God has let me do. And I praised His name. And then another thing, sorry for the testimony time, but y'all won't hear it, all right? I always wanted to go to England because that was my home. I was talking to one of my brothers this morning about going to England. And I thought, well, when I join the service, I'll get stationed there. Guess what? They sent me to the other side of the world. Never join the military thinking you're going to go where you want to go. Okay? Unless you want to go to the smelliest, loneliest place on the earth. But anyway. And then all of a sudden, Shiny and I devoted ourselves to serving God. We didn't know exactly what we wanted to do at the time, but a trip came up and we were able to go to England for 2 weeks and do mission work in the home of one of the first missionaries, William Carey. In his hometown, Leicester. In fact, we saw some plaques that said this was the house that William Carey lived in. You know, what was really good is we were out in the parking lot of one of the cathedrals in Leicester in a car park, and we were walking all over Richard III and didn't even know it. He was buried under the car park. You got kings buried all over the place up there. But anyway, I got to fulfill a dream of mine with someone who loved me because God was faithful to answer a prayer. And He gave me the strength. He gave me the wherewithal. He gave. I'll just leave it at that. And He's done the same thing for many of us. Now, we've all got to do mission trips and things before because, you know, we just thought about it, but once we got it, we were so blessed. We got it in our blood. Now, some people do it, and it's wonderful. They get to go all the time. And some people, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience like mine was. Shiny got to go to St. Petersburg, Russia with a handbell choir for a week or two. And that's a mission trip. And she was blessed. And she got to go, and we went together to England. This is before Christine. So that's what I call BC, before Christine. We got to do that, and God blessed us. And He gave us not only the money and the ability and the time off and everything else. He gave us the strength to do it. Because I'm going to tell you, walking door to door and handing out things and talking in schools and playing in choirs and visiting people, and that tires you out. It's not like it is here. You know, here you get tired, you can go home and rest. But when you're over there, you're on mission field. And those that have been missionaries know this. It's 24 hours, 7 days. But God gives you the strength because that's what He's called you to do. And brothers and sisters, you know, God still strengthens His people. He still gives us the feet of the hind, the feet of the deer, to escape the hunter. Now, the hunter, in our case, is the evil one. That evil snare that is laid out. He gives us the strength to escape it. But you must be fully devoted to Him. There is no halfway, sneaking in through the side door method of giving your all to God. To try to share your own strength or the strength of another outside of God is fruitless and it can even hurt you. But you see, the prophet knew that soon there would be no food, probably no water, no meat, no animals, nothing, not anything physical that would sustain him or his people. The only thing he had left was God. And brothers and sisters, that's enough. You know, I've talked to people who have been in third world countries and they literally were starving. I've talked to people that literally made mud pies and ate them because they had nothing else. And they lamented because God called some of their loved ones home during that episode. But then one turned to me and he said, I'm trying to get his words right. He said that, you know, that's okay. God's will be done. Now, how many of us can say that with truth? Now, we say it all the time. But if you had nothing else, would you be satisfied with God's will, which is Him to give you strength when you need it? I pray you would. You see, God is all you need. Now, I know that some people will claim that their own ingenuity, their own cleverness, for their ability to forestall or to wiggle out of trouble, they claim that's what's helped them out. But who gave them the ideas? Who gave them the ability? Who set up the circumstances? Who caused them to trust Him in such events? If God is our strength and our portion forever, He is the strength and portion forever for all who call upon His name. For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not maybe, not might be, not coulda, but shall be. And we need to understand that. So when we look at the bleakness of our godless society, brothers and sisters, every day it's becoming more and more godless. Why do we trust? Who do we trust in for the strength needed to keep on loving and trusting God? God gives us that strength. God Himself will provide for us in some way. We don't even know the way fully. Even old Abraham told Isaac when they were up on top of Mount Moriah and the knife was sharp on his side. They were going up the mountain and Isaac asked, "Father, where's the lamb? You have the wood, you have the knife, whatever, you know, where's the lamb we're going to sacrifice?" And Abraham said wisely, "God will provide the lamb." You know, he had told his young men that had traveled with him when he left them afar off, he said, "We will return." So he made a said, whatever happens, we are going to return. But all he knew at that moment was God told him to give up his son, to sacrifice his son. And he was going to, but the angel of the Lord, and I believe when it cries out the angel of the Lord, I believe that was a pre-incarnate Christ, stopped him. And said, "Abraham, I now know you fear God more than anything." Would that have to be said about us? God doesn't call us to sacrifice our children. That's Molech worship. We worship a living God who gives us children as a trophy. As a trophy, and tells us that when we are blessed, now sometimes He chooses not to, but I understand there are exceptions, but most of the time God gives us children that we can raise up to powerful young men and women in Christ. And they are a blessing as we see them go forth into the world that we want forth into from our parents. Can we not trust Him to provide the lamb? Can we not trust Him to give us the strength that we need? Habakkuk did. Many people throughout the Bible did. Many people today give God the room to show the strength that He has. And that's amazing to me. Because you know, the old cliche is let go and let God, right? We've heard it 1,000 times. But you know, when we actually do that, we can see a blessing beyond our wildest imaginations. We can see that. And it's a good, good blessing. Brothers and sisters, as I begin to close this, I want you to understand, we need to seek God. Look to God for our help and our salvation. See the sweeping hand of the Master as He rightly prepares to judge those who mock His people, but also as He gives out the strength His people need to overcome what this world throws at them. We need to trust in the One who will blow the trumpet and come on that white horse, crown upon His head, with the armies of heaven following Him. Revelation 19. We need to trust Him. We need to see the Lord as that day draws nearer and nearer. And brothers, y'all may not think this is a big deal, but it is a big deal. That day is getting closer and closer. Your day of seeing God face to face, whether it be when you go to Him or He comes to you, is closer than it was 20 minutes ago. Who of you can guarantee that by the end of the week, your obituary is not read. No one can, myself included. But you know what? If it is read, I'm in a lot better place. And my God has given me the strength to stare death face to face in my life and in others' lives. And you know, it doesn't scare me anymore. I don't like it. I'm not going to celebrate when it happens. But it doesn't scare me. Because I know that I'm not dead. I'm not. My eternal life is guaranteed. My inheritance in heaven is guaranteed by the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross. And He gives me the strength every day until that day He calls me. And He does the same for you, brothers and sisters. The same. One day you will have all taken from you, as Habakkuk was about to experience when the Babylonians and the Chaldeans came in. But you know, brothers, whether by illness, death, or the government, everything you have is going to be taken away from you. You can leave it to your children, but that doesn't guarantee anything. Even if you manage to leave it to your children, what are they going to do with it after you're gone? Do you remember what Solomon said? A man, he lives and dies, he builds it, and then he dies and leaves it to fools. Not calling our children fools, but you get the point. Because what you don't work for, in a physical sense, you don't appreciate much. You know, when you go out and you earn $100, you like that $100. You don't want to give it to somebody because you earned it. You use it for necessities or use it for what God gave it to you for. You don't just go throw it on video games. That was my time. Pocket full of quarters and I'm headed for the arcade. I had Pac-Man fever back in the day. Did any of y'all have that? Some of you older folks are going, what in the world is he talking about? This was the 80s, okay? You know the 80s was 50 years ago? Do you know the 1930s were 50 years behind the 80s? So if we go back as far as you go back from 1980, you'd be in the 1930s. Think about that for a second. Some of y'all might not want to think about that for a second. Circumstances change over time. Laws change. Different things change. When you're gone, you're no longer occupied with what's going on in this world. But when you are in this world, you need the strength that God gives you to get through it. Have I made myself clear on that? Who can know when the figs will fail and wither and the olives drop off the branches and there are no animals in the stall? What have you when death comes for you? What have you when life comes for you? You only have what God gives you. And if He's given you Himself through Jesus Christ, then you have all you need. If you're in Christ, you have the strength and wisdom you need to cry out to death, where is your sting, you old goat? You ever talk to death like that? You old goat? You know, sometimes that's all it is. The only time I think of death and goat is when I think of Andy Griffith when the goat ate the dynamite. How many remember that? They were scared to death that the goat was going to blow up and kill somebody. Death is always trying to tell us, and the evil one is all trying to tell us, you know, I'm going to make you miserable. I'm going to take you away from everything. No. God is with you. Now, for those that don't know God, that's certainly true. But for those that do know God, no, you don't need to worry about the lies of the world, the flesh, and the devil. You don't need to worry about the Chaldeans coming. You don't need to worry about that because God is with you and He gives you the strength to not only endure, but to overcome. For greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. Thus we may and should rejoice in the Lord and have joy in the God of our salvation. He is all we need and He is all we really have because He has us in His bosom right now. The Bible tells us as believers, we are right now seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. How can that be? I'm here in Odessa, Missouri. I love the town, but it ain't heaven. But you see, just as Christ is living in us, we are living in Christ. So Christ is here on earth through the Holy Spirit with me right now in Odessa, and I am with Him seated at right hand of God the Father in the heavenlies. Is it a mystery? Yep. And I can't fully explain it. I don't care how many degrees I have on the wall. I can't explain that 100% to everyone's satisfaction. But it doesn't change the fact it's true. It is true. So if you are in Christ Jesus, rejoice. Use the strength that He gives you to praise Him, to honor Him, to love Him, and to serve Him. Can you do no less for a Savior such as He? We can, and we should. But if you're not in Jesus, come to Him and He will in no ways cast you out. When you come to Jesus, you're coming because the Father has opened up your heart and mind to the Holy Spirit and He brings you. Come to Jesus. You must come to Him in repentance and faith, not arrogance and pride. You can't go to Jesus and say, "All right, Lord, I'm ready. I've been a good person. I've gave all my money. I've done everything. You know, what? Well, that was 1974. I don't highly recall that one. You see, you cannot go to Christ in arrogance because He knows everything you've ever done and everything you've ever thought. And you know what? He loves you anyway. And if you accept Him in faith and repentance and faith, then He will no way cast you out. Now that's a promise. And I believe the promises of God. Adrian Rogers once said, and you probably hear it on the radio, if he said it, I believe it. And I feel the same way. My God does not lie. He cannot lie. And when He gives us the truth, and He has men like Habakkuk and Peter and all these men of old that says, He said the truth, and I believe them. I believe them. And I believe God more than anything. So you must come to Jesus in repentance and faith. You must come on His terms and not your own. When you do, you will find forgiveness of sins and salvation of your soul. And even if you already belong to Him and you've been drifting away and you've been doing things that you know aren't pleasing to God, He has never left. He is still with you and He will give you the strength to overcome every temptation that you will ever face. Will it be difficult? Yeah. The devil is a brilliant general over his armies. He knows where your weak link. He knows where that weak link is. And he will zero in on it. Is it a lust for money? Oh man, he's going to come after you. Is it a physical lust? Oh man, he's going to put every kind of thing in front of you that he can come up with. Is it pride? Oh, he's going to puff you up to such a point you're going to not be able to sink in the water. He will do all this. But as I said, greater than He that is in us than He that is in the world. So no matter what the world or the flesh or the devil throws at you, you can ask God for strength. He will give it to you and you will overcome it by the blood of the Lamb. Thus we are strengthened by God. I think I've proved that point. We are made His children. John 1 talks about that He has made us able to be the children of light. And we are through Jesus Christ. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, will you now accept His strength for your weary heart? Are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Jesus said, come to Him, for His yoke is easy and His burden is light. We carry this burden around with us every day. And you don't think preachers do? Don't forget, I'm not just a preacher. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a student. I'm all these things. I'm a confidant. I'm an advisor. I'm a counselor. I'm a teacher. I'm all these things. By the grace of God. Not anything of my own. The point I'm saying is there is a heavy burden that we all carry because we can sit and think, each one of us, what God has us being in our lives. And the burden is almost unbearable. But you see, in Christ, the burden is light. He removes the burden of sin. And that's 95% of what we're carrying. Haven't y'all ever been hauling firewood or something? You got this great big old, load full of stuff in your hands and you're trying to tote it and somebody come and you're about to fall down and somebody will come along and take half a load off of you, quarter load, and you've got renewed strength. You can pick it up now. You're going to be Lou Ferrigno, Incredible Hulk, that thing, and you're going to get it up there. See, God does that, but He removes the entire burden that affects us in our afterlife. You still going to have work to do on earth? Absolutely. You still going to have problems and anxieties and doubts? Absolutely. But now, you have the strength of the Lord to deal with it. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that a wonderful thing? Will you accept His strength when you are weary? Brothers and sisters, I implore you. I know how weary it's getting. We're getting wearier by the day. But you see, in our weakness, His strength is made evident. As Paul said, when I am weak, He is strong. Let the strength of God make you incredibly apparent to people. What do I mean by that? Well, I don't want people watching me. Oh, brothers and sisters, when you're in a place of lowness and God pulls you from that and people see that it is God that is doing that, you are being a witness without saying a word. You are showing the strength of God in your life, not by what you did, but by what He did. And when people ask you, what happened? How did you overcome this? When I am weak, He is strong. What do you mean by that? Open door. And you don't have to memorize 1,000 verses or go to a theology class. All you got to do is tell them what God has done for you. He pulled me up. He pulled me out. He gave me a way. He's the light at the end of the tunnel. Somebody once said, and I said, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. He said, yeah, but in my life, that light is a train that's coming. And I said, amen, brother, but who is the engineer? That train isn't going to run you over. It's going to pick you up and carry you wherever God wants you to go. And when we realize that and we focus in on His strength and His power, then God will do miracles in our lives. Not because we earn it, not because we're worthy of it, but because He is God. And His strength becomes our strength. And we are able to do all that He has called us to do. Brothers, sisters, when we get a hold of that, that's going to light a fire of revival under our rear ends, and this church is going to be known as the place where God is. Not the building, but in the people's hearts. Amen. Amen. Praise team. But again, I want to reiterate that the strength of God only comes to those who love and trust Him. You know, if I trusted somebody, they told me they wanted to help me and I trusted them and they helped me, that's great and wonderful. But I'm not going to go up to a stranger and say, hey man, can you help me out? Can you give me $100? Now some people may do that. I don't, because there's no relationship. There's no way that they can know who I am or who they are. But you see, God is different. I know who God is because the Bible tells me who He is. The Holy Spirit illuminates the Word of God to let me know in my heart that what I read is true and that God's presence is felt in my life simply because He is God. And when that time comes, when I need that strength, I have no problem going before the throne of God as Esther burst into the throne room of Ahasuerus. I hope I pronounced that right. And he extended that scepter. When I go before the throne of God Almighty, I have the blood of Christ on me, and He in no way casts me out. And I can lay my petitions at His feet, and He hears me. Now, He might not give me the answer I want because I got to trust His answer. If I ask God for a car and He says, no, I'm not going to give you one right now, I got to trust that. But at the same time, when I know there is something life-threatening or life-altering, and I really need that, He is always there for me. And He can be for you too, brothers and sisters. I don't want to make this about me. I want to make it about Jesus Christ. If you know Him, rejoice in the strength that He gives you. If you don't know Him, come to Him. If you've walked away from Him, come back to Him. And He will give you the strength necessary to do all that He wants you to do. Come to Him. Don't delay. Don't delay, brothers and sisters.